live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a request has been submitted to AmPOS requesting an extension to the proposed closing date of Kilcar Post Office. Gardaí say they will be operating a zero-tolerance policy over rally weekend in Donegal. The Minister for the Marine is being urged to intervene in a bid to reverse the decision to axe plans for a sea survival training centre in Greencastle. And a Donegal deputy has raised serious concern following the publication of the Mental Health Commission's annual report, which revealed that 84 children were admitted to adult mental health centres in 2018. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first news, a request has been submitted to AmPOS requesting an extension to the proposed closing date of Kilcar Post Office. A letter has been sent by Donegal deputies Pat the Cope Gallagher, Thomas Pringle and Pierce Doherty asking for the closure of the post office, which is due to close at the end of this month, to be extended by 6 months. Deputy Pringle says the community deserves time to make their case to AmPOS.
I think the least the people of Kilcar can expect is to have a reasonable time to make a submission to AmPOS to try and keep the post office open. In the last round of post office closures, the communities were given around about 3 months or so to make a submission to and positive in favour of their post office to see if it could be kept. And I think that's the least that the people of Kilcar should expect as well. They've been given a very short time, I think it was in the space of 2 weeks to make the submission before the post office closes. And I just don't think that's really that fair.
Has there been sufficient examination done by AmPOS to see if there is a new person available to take over, if there is interest in taking it over once the current incumbent retires?
AmPOS haven't even given that opportunity. AmPOS have basically just said they're closing the post office and that's it. There is no opportunity for anybody else to have a look or to make a submission. There is at least two businesses in the town that are willing to take over the post office, but that opportunity wasn't even given. AmPOS have said just that the size of the community doesn't warrant a post office in their view, and that's what's being contested by the community.
The three of you met with Minister Sean Canny briefly today. Was he able to say anything to give you any solace?
Unfortunately not. He took on board what he said. He agreed with us in terms of what he said, and he undertook to take it to AmPOS. That's all he could say to us at that stage. But I hope that he'll come back with a positive answer, because I think what the community deserves at least is to be able to make the proper case to AmPOS, and that's what we're looking for at the moment.
Gardaí say they will be operating a zero-tolerance policy over rally weekend in Donegal. In the past, the weekend has been notorious for a high level of drink and drug driving and assaults, but Gardaí have stressed that this is a small element of the crowd who come to the county and does not reflect the behaviour of true rally enthusiasts. The court service is also on standby to organise special weekend sittings if necessary. Inspector Michael Harrison says this will be one of the biggest policing operations to ever be carried out over a rally weekend.
We've examined exactly the number of arrests and the reason why we had the number of arrests over the last 2 years. And after consultations through the Joint Policing Committee, we realised from listening to what they had to tell us that more had to be done regarding policing, regarding the rally weekend. And the zero tolerance policy that we have adopted is in an effort to contain the behaviour that goes on at the weekend. We know we're going to have large crowds of people in the town. We ask the people that are coming to town to behave themselves, respect the residents in the town. There's an awful lot of residents, people that live in this town, and just ask the question of themselves, would they do this outside their own homes in the counties that they live in? And if they're not going to do it there, why do it up here?
We have seen in years past, on the Monday after the rally, a high level of people attending the court. It's something that you obviously wouldn't like to see, but something that may need to be done this year.
Well, again, we have requested through the court service that we put them on notice that we may require a special court on Saturday and Sunday. They've informed us that, yes, there will be a judge on standby if that's needed, but we hope we don't have to use that. But have a feeling from the from monitoring social media, looking at the what people are saying regarding what they're going to do when they come to this county, that it is that's going to be very, very difficult to avoid. But I would just ask the people who come to the county just to let them, not ask them, just to let them know that we will, if they do engage in antisocial behaviour on the roads, they will be dealt with accordingly, and if needs be, they will be arrested, they will be charged, and they will be taken to court.
The Taoiseach says there's enormous hostility towards another Brexit extension from EU leaders. Leo Varadkar is meeting his EU counterparts in Brussels today to plan the future after the European elections. While in the UK, votes are continuing to decide who will be the next Prime Minister. Leo Varadkar says whoever it is, they won't be given more time to reach a deal beyond the October 31st deadline.
There's very much a strong view across the European Union that there shouldn't be any more extensions. While I have endless patience, some of my colleagues have lost patience, quite frankly, with the UK, and there's enormous hostility to any further extension. So I think an extension could really only happen if it were to facilitate something like a general election in the UK, or perhaps even something like a second referendum if they decided to have one.
The Minister for the Marine is being urged to intervene in a bid to reverse a decision to axe plans for a sea survival training centre in Greencastle. Funding of €1.5 million for the centre was announced in 2016. However, it was confirmed this week that there are no current provisions to proceed with the project. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin told the Shannon today that the community of Greencastle feel betrayed by the shock decision. He says it's imperative that the government uphold promises made and deliver the centre.
The only other one of its kind on the island is down in Cork. So you'd have one at the top of the island up in Greencastle and Ashowan, and one at the bottom in Cork. So obviously you would be training fishermen and other people who are involved in life-saving, of course, Coast Guard, RNLI. That would be the type of facility that could train all of those people, right from Mayo up the coast to the top of Donegal, and indeed, I'm sure, from the six counties. And we've learned in recent days that that announcement that was made just a week before the general election in 2016 has now been rolled back on. Bordish Gawarra are now saying they're not going to proceed. This was a 1.5 million centre. It is essential. I've spoken to the people up there in the college. I've spoken to other people in the community. I've spoken to fishermen. And people are very, very angry. There's a real sense of betrayal here. So what I'm asking for today, Leader, is that you would send the transcript of what I have to say to the Minister for the Marine, asking him and his department officials to urgently intervene, to meet with Bordish Gawarra, and to see how this announced, officially announced centre will be made a reality. That is the least you can do for the fishing communities right up the west coast and into the north.
A Donegal deputy has raised serious concern following the publication of the Mental Health Commission's annual report, which revealed that 84 children were admitted to adult mental health centres in 2018. Chief Executive of the Commission, John Farley, says the placement of any child in any adult unit indicates a gap in service provision. That was echoed by Deputy Pierce Doherty, who told Junior Minister Jim Daly in the Dáil today that it is essential all beds at mental health facilities across the country are commissioned.
To raise the issue of the publication of the Mental Health Commission annual report that was published, and once again it highlights the deficiencies in services affecting seriously the issue around children being admitted to adult mental health units in this state. We see from the report that 84 children were admitted to adult mental health units in the state last year. The head of the Commission, John Farley, said the placement of any child in any adult unit indicates a service provision gap. He goes on to say that no child should access mental health services through a unit that is not equipped to deal with their needs. And I'm sure, Minister, that you will share that view, that this is simply totally unacceptable, and it's gone on for far, far too long. It is time to end this practice for once and for all. It's time to deliver on the vision for change. How many years ago is that now that we've had that promise? The number of beds that's required. And it's time to make sure that all beds are commissioned. 44 out of the 74 beds last year were only operational. So can you outline to those children and others what is the plan here to make sure that no child has to access mental health through adult services?
Thank you, Deputy. Deputy, to answer first of all just the issue of young people being admitted to adult. Sometimes it can be multifactorial, and the reason for it can be down to geography and down to an age. Somebody could be 18 and a half. I'm not defending the practice. I'm just saying in some circumstances it is beyond our control. In other circumstances it's not acceptable. We don't want to see it happening. There is a protocol in place where a young person is admitted to an adult unit. The head of the HSE Mental Health Service has to be notified, as do the Mental Health Commission, and there are some very strict guidelines and protocols to protect them there. Ultimately, it's a capacity issue as well in some cases.
A judge says he's shocked to hear an innocent child has been wrongly identified on social media as being one of the boys who killed 14-year-old Anna Creashell. Mr Justice Michael White has ordered Facebook and Twitter to continue to remove any material naming or identifying either Boy A or Boy B. Shane Beattie reports.
The Central Criminal Court heard an innocent child has been falsely identified online as being Boy A or Boy B, who were convicted of Anna Creashell's murder. A school also told the court other children are being implicated and a staff member is being targeted online. Mr Justice Michael White continued an order made yesterday, meaning anything identifying the convicted boys which Facebook or Twitter become aware of or is brought to their attention must be removed. He said anyone sharing the material online should be pursued by Gardaí with vigour. Lawyers for Boy B said his family has been forced into hiding. Boy A's lawyers presented copies of tweets and Facebook comments posted this morning identifying him. Legal representatives for the social media company told the court they'd already swiftly removed material once they became aware of it. The matter will be back before the court on July 5th. Shane Beattie, the Central Criminal Court.
Once again, Donegal has the lowest income in the country, with an average household income of €32,259 compared to the national average of €45,256. That's according to the CSO, which has just published figures for 2016. Dunleary Rathdown had the highest average income in 2016 at €66,203, just over twice the Donegal figure. Meanwhile, there's been a year-on-year rise of 5.7% in the number of planning permissions granted in Donegal, according to the CSO. The number of new dwellings given the go-ahead has risen, but the number of permissions for commercial and other premises has fallen. Donal Kavanagh has more.
According to CSO figures today, there were 241 planning permissions granted in Donegal in the first 3 months of the year, 97 of them dwellings. That compares with 228 permissions granted in the county between January and March of 2018. 78 of them dwellings. However, when permissions for commercial and other premises are compared, there has been a small fall over the course of the year. 73 were given the go-ahead in the first quarter of last year against 68 during the same period this year. Quarter one of 2019 saw permissions for 60 extensions and 16 conversions, compared to 59 and 18 respectively 12 months earlier. Nationally, there were 6,843 planning permissions granted between January and March of 2019, compared to 6,036 in the first 3 months of last year.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the Ulster final this weekend at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's almost 5:15 and time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. In Gaelic games, Monaghan midfielder Darren Hughes has had his 8-week ban upheld by the Central Competitions Control Committee. That was over an incident in the Farney County's Round 1 qualifier win over Fermanagh. The Scotstown man is currently out injured as he recovers from a broken ankle and was a team official on the day. It was expected he could return from injury later in the championship if Malik O'Rourke's side where to progress. Hughes is likely to now take his appeal further to the Central Hearings Committee. Meanwhile, this weekend's Ulster final action between Donegal and Cavan will be live on Sunday Sport from the start time of 2 o'clock on Sunday. Donegal's 2018 All-Star Ryan McHugh says they can't underestimate the Breffni men at Clonus this weekend.
I think Cavan were unlucky to get relegated from the league this year. You know, I think they put in some top performers. You know, don't get me wrong, you want to win every match, but I think in the league especially, you know, it's more about performances and getting performance right and getting players up to the level. And I think Cavan put in a lot of good performances, and which came to no surprise that they put in three top performances in Ulster Championship so far this year. You know, they're a top side. You know, they're a good side. Don't get to Ulster Finals for no reason. You know, there's some top players, you know, names that ring off the tongue, the Darren McVitie's, guys, Gareth McKiernan's, Cian Mackey's, Marty Riley's, you know, Killian Clark. Got to know a good couple of them in college, you know, and came up against them in an under 21 level. And unfortunately, from my point of view, they always beat us at under 21 level. So I think we're going to be in for a great match, you know. I think, to be fair, both teams have tried to play more attacking this year. You know, Cavan are kicking the ball a lot more. Donegal are trying to kick the ball a lot more. So I think we're in for a top match. But just from our point of view, I hope we come out on the right side.
Ryan McHugh there, Donegal playing Cavan on Sunday at 2 o'clock. In motorsport, competitors and crews in the 2019 Donegal International Rally, they're putting their final touches to their cars today ahead of tomorrow's start. Scrutiny is on at McGinley's on the Pearce Road in Letterkenny. The buzz ahead of the event has been building this week, with both Ken Block and Craig Breen in town for the 3-day motorsport marathon. Breen would cherish a Donegal win.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was one of the rallies that I was wanting to win. You know, there was a lot of rallies this year that I had my eyes set on. So a couple of big rallies. You know, San Remo was a rally I always wanted to win. We managed to take that one off. We have Ypres in 2 weeks' time, another famous tarmac rally. I've always wanted to have a good win in that. So another one there. And yeah, of course, this weekend is another rally that I would desperately like to win. So I've got little experience here. I've never finished a rally before, and it's going to be a tough one. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, the rally gets underway tomorrow. We'll have full coverage here, of course, on Highland Radio. Oisin Kelly, Chris Ashmore and Seamus McGettigan and the crew will be all out covering that for the next 3 days. Moving on, the Irish team have departed for the second edition of the European Games, which starts this weekend in Minsk in Belarus. Donegal's well represented on the 65-strong squad. The McGee household, they're shipping out from Rafoe. Chloe, Sam and Joshua McGee are travelling with niece Rachel Dara to compete in the badminton discipline. On the athletics front, Connell's Kelly McGrory will take on the 400 metres hurdles, and Jared Donnell of Carrick AC will go in the 110 metres hurdles. Fun Valley AC's Dermot McGrannan is part of the Irish coaching staff. In soccer, the last 16 of the Women's World Cup will be completed tonight. Canada, they meet European champions the Netherlands in Ras to determine who finishes top of Group E. The other game sees Cameroon face New Zealand. Both of those games have just kicked off at 5 o'clock. Then at 8 o'clock, the USA need only a point from their game with Sweden to finish top of Group F and seal a last 16 meeting with Spain. Group F, Manos Thailand, they take on Chile in the night's other game. And Manchester City, they have moved a step closer to signing Rodri from Atletico Madrid. Marcos Llorente has left Real Madrid for Atletico Madrid for €40 million. Llorente is believed to be a like-for-like replacement for Rodri, who's poised to join the Premier League champions for a club record €70 million. Meanwhile, City fullback Oleksandr Zinchenko has signed a new contract at the Etihad, keeping him with the club until 2024. In horse racing, Frankie Dettori has been enjoying a remarkable day at Royal Ascot. The 48-year-old has won all four races so far today, including the day's feature race. Dettori guided the favourite Stradivarius to victory in the Gold Cup for the second year running. Earlier, 41-shot Star Catcher won the Ribsdale Stakes. Sangaris was a 13-2 winner over the Hampton Court Stakes. And Dettori opened the day by guiding 5-1 chance A. Alley to victory in the Norfolk Stakes. In golf, in the European Tour, the BMW International is taking place in Munich this weekend. The play has been delayed there due to thunder and lightning. Leading the way at the moment is Andrea Pavan. He shot a 6-under par round of 66. It leaves him one ahead of Oliver Wilson and Martin Kaymer. Gavin Moynihan, he's 2-under par through 11. Paul Dunne's 1-over through 12. And Michael Hoey shot a 74 to finish in 2-over par. In the Travellers Championship on the PGA Tour this week, in the early stages, Ryan Armour leads the way. He's in 6-under par. Patrick Harrington has played 12 holes. He's 1-under par. Seamus Power tees off a little later. And finally for this evening, Andy Murray makes his return to the court this evening for the first time since January's Australian Open. He's partnered by Feliciano Lopez in the first round of the men's doubles at the Queen's Club. It'll be Murray's first match since undergoing hip surgery earlier this year. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, the dependency of the agriculture sector on EU subsidies has been thrown into sharp relief today, with a new report showing that before subsidies, the average beef farm lost €116 per hectare in 2018. The report has been produced by IFAC, the Farming, Food and Agribusiness Professional Services firm, which surveyed over 2,130 Irish farmers and analysed trends from 21,755 sets of on-farm financial accounts. Philip O'Connor is author of the IFAC Farm Report 2019. He says there is still a lot of uncertainty, particularly in the beef centre.
What the survey showed is the amount of uncertainty that's out there, and I suppose that comes from the amount of issues that are coming down the line at the one moment. Like, you have Brexit, you've environmental changes, you've CAP, you've Mansour. There's a lot of issues and challenges hitting farmers at the one time. Farmers are used to dealing with challenges, but it's the sheer amount of them that are coming together that's bringing the level of uncertainty. And that kind of fed out into the survey result that we got, that 38% of beef farmers are unsure if they'll be farming in 5 years' time.
Was there evidence in Donegal and the border region that the figures there were higher, given the perhaps added challenges of Brexit and other pressures?
Yes, it was a little bit higher, but not massively statistically. Like, I mean, it was fairly universal across the country. Like, when there was variances within certain regions, but it was pretty consistent, those figures. Like, and when we looked at the for succession, for example, like in the beef sector, 50% of farmers in the beef sector said that one of the major issues of succession was viability, whereas when that same stat in the dairy sector was down at 20%.
Meanwhile, it's been announced €50 million is to be made available to Irish beef farmers by the European Union. EU member states today agreed to the proposal to help beef farmers who are facing an unprecedented and sustained period of low prices. It's estimated they have collectively lost more than €100 million over the past year. Joe Healy, president of the Irish Farmers Association, says the EU fund will be a big boost to the beef sector.
It was a fund that the IFA had lobbied for in relation to the hard-pressed beef and suckler farmers and the losses they had incurred, mainly due to Brexit, and over the last number of years, but particularly since last September. And as well as, you know, the losses were extraordinary losses there in the springtime, where farmers found it very difficult to sell their animals, and secondly, at very reduced prices.
And finally, the Education Minister says he's pleased to see that children's opinions are being respected after a primary school announced it's adopting a gender-neutral uniform policy. From September, boys in St Bridget's National School in Greystones, County Wicklow, can wear a skirt and girls can wear trousers after a proposal from the Student Council. Minister Joe McHugh says the children have spoken.
If we are genuine and serious about trying to facilitate that participation of young people, we have to allow them the space to make the argument, make the convincing argument, and obviously they've convinced their board of management, and that has to be respected.
For weather now, spells of sunshine and passing showers this evening, a few showers heavy, becoming generally dry tonight with clear skies and lowest temperatures of 5 to 7 degrees and light or moderate southwest breezes. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a request has been submitted to Unpost requesting an extension to the proposed closing date of Kilcar Post Office. A letter has been sent by Donegal Deputies Pat the Cope Gallagher, Thomas Pringle and Pierce Doherty asking for the closure of the post office, which is due to close at the end of this month, to be extended by 6 months. Gardaí say they will be operating a zero-tolerance policy over Rally weekend in Donegal. In the past, the weekend has been notorious for a high level of drink and drug driving and assaults, but Gardaí have stressed that this is a small element of the crowd who come to the county and does not reflect the behaviour of true Rally enthusiasts. The Minister for the Marine is being urged to intervene in a bid to reverse a decision to axe plans for a sea survival training centre in Greencastle. Funding of €1.5 million for the centre was announced in 2016. However, it was confirmed this week that there are no current provisions to proceed with the project. And a Donegal deputy has raised serious concern following the publication of the Mental Health Commission's annual report, which revealed that 84 children were admitted to adult mental health centres in 2018. Deputy Pierce Doherty told Junior Minister Jim Daly today that it is essential all beds and mental health facilities across the country are commissioned. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The which notices for this Thursday evening, the 20th of June. The death has taken place of Barry Burns, Cornwall, England, and formerly of the Haw Road, Lifford. Funeral details to follow. The death has taken place of Maureen Coyle, née Cuff, Pillar Park, Buncrana. Remains reposing at her residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Patrick Ferry, Ardsbeg, Gortha Hawk. Patrick's remains are reposing at the family home with rosary nightly at 9 p.m. and family time from after the rosary until 10 a.m. Removal from there on Saturday morning to Christ the King Church, Gortha Hawk, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Mary Barr, née McBride, 111 Ballycommon Estate, Strabane, formerly of Barnes Road, Ballybuffet. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred of PJ O'Brien, Glencar Irish, Long Lane, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in St. Eunan's Cathedral with interment afterwards in New Leck Cemetery. House private, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. And the death has taken place of Charles Clark, Drung, Quigley's Point. House strictly private, please, at the request of the family. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St. Columba's Church, Drung, with burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Liam Collins, funeral director.